In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
So, what have you watched?
Well, Vudu was having a special. They do this on a reasonably frequent basis. They will give you the pilot episode of a show for free. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically, you know, you get the first taste free, but the rest you got to pay for. Mm-hmm. I had skipped Marvel's Inhumans back in the day. I don't remember. I want to say I didn't have DVR at that point, and I didn't have a consistent like internet connection that would allow me to watch. And I didn't want to just watch it on my phone. So I finally sat down and I was like, let's take a look at this. You know, Marvel, everything is just fantastic. Never fails.
It does.
Inhumans failed.
Yeah.
Like, and if you will look at the talent and I guess the resources that they had at their hands, like it. Okay. Anson Mount. From Hell on Wheels and recently of Star Trek Discovery, playing Christopher Pike. They have him as Black Bolt, the main character in the show. But Black Bolt can't talk because if he does, you hear him talk, like you'll get Thanos snapped away. Mm-hmm. Like that's how powerful his voice is. So you get Anson Mount.
Not talking.
Like that's. That's like hiring Will Smith in the mid-90s and not getting him to do your soundtrack. Like the fact that there is no After Earth like rap song, I think is one of the things that contributed to its failing at the box office. Like, granted, M. Night Shyamalan directing it probably also helped that along, but I'm just telling you, the fact that I've said After Earth rap, you're kind of interested now, aren't you?
Like, wouldn't be.
You don't. I mean, maybe it's a dumpster fire, but it's still a dumpster fire you want to watch.
Exactly.
And as long as you put people in the seats, I'm just putting it out there. If you're just like, guys, you have to go. After Earth, the movie's trash, but his song about it, it's fantastic. Like, I'm gonna put it out there. It's better than Wild Wild West. The song, well, not the movie.
I was going to say, because...
Listen, the music video for Wild Wild West is spectacular. The movie, pretty disposable.
Yes, especially since the Wild Wild West, the TV show, I loved immensely.
Do you know who was originally supposed to do that movie?
Will Smith.
No. Mel Gibson and Richard Donner were going to do it, but for some reason did Maverick instead. It was going to be an R-rated, like, basically a Lethal Weapon take on Wild Wild West... with Mel Gibson as James West.
Huh.
Like, doesn't that kind of pique your... The guy that did Superman the movie and Lethal Weapon doing Wild Wild West with not current Mel Gibson, like 90s Mel Gibson. Like, sure thing, your movie's going to be a hit, Mel Gibson.
Before he, you know, went off the rails, Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Okay, so it's been a while, but I'm going to throw it right out here. We've got a cringe on our hands.
Yes. In humans, like I said, on the forefront of this, like you would have to think at this point, like everybody that got cast in this, they're calling mom and dad. They're like, I'm in the big leagues. I'm in a Marvel property. They're like, oh, do you get to hang out with Iron Man? What?
So what year did Inhumans come out? Because I know I saw it and it was horrible.
I want to say it's 2016 or 2017.
Okay. So avoid at all cost.
It's they do all of this stuff that if you're sitting there going, well, I've got to do this on a regular basis, week after week, on a television show. Like, if you're going to have like all of these characters that require constant CGI and they're in space, like basically Inhumans is space X-Men. Mm-hmm. They get their
No, I believe it's X-Men in space.
Or it would have been if they weren't the Inhumans. They get their powers from the Terrigen Mists, but basically they all have mutant powers. But they're Inhumans, not X-Men. Like, they breathe in these mists, and it gives these fantastic... I really think probably Stan Lee was into some...
breathing in some...
He was breathing in some Terrigen Mists in the 60s when he created the Inhumans.
So, hard pass on that. And you can watch the first horrible hour on Vudu, I guess, right
you
now.
You can, like, for free.
All right.
And I mean, it's got the 4K, like... So, I mean, you can see this train wreck in glorious 4K.
Oh, lovely.
Or SD, if you so choose to go with that. But yeah, I was like, well, I'm gonna, maybe it's not as bad as
I thought.
And you see it, and I'm like, why did they spend so much money? You know what? Maybe this is why the shows started turning up on Netflix instead.
Like, exactly.
Daredevil, as you and I have attested to, like, fantastic. Punisher.
By the way, have they not? They haven't canceled Punisher yet, have they?
Yeah, that.
What's with that?
Everyone said they were going to, and they just did it to mess with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. Like, there's no way they cancel literally every other Marvel property. Like I said, Gifton's going to get canceled. They just canceled Legion.
Mm-hmm.
They canceled Daredevil, Luke Cage. Jessica Jones isn't canceled yet, but that's because they haven't shown I'm just saying, literally everything else. Or maybe they're just doing it to me. They're just like, we're not going to cancel Punisher. Yeah, I don't care, Marvel. Yeah, whatever. Do Disney Plus. We don't care. We're keeping the Punisher. It's ours. It's ours.
Now, I'm going to touch on these very, very briefly. Ray Romano has stand-up comedy on Netflix. Funny. It is, I don't want to say mature. It's more adult. It's a step or two up from his comedy on Everybody Loves Raymond, because he's a stand-up. But it's not Richard Pryor, adult.
No, well, like, I will say this. If Pryor would have gotten his own sitcom...
I'm sure it would have been toned down, too.
Well, can you...
No.
Can you really tone down Pryor?
I just have an image of him on Superman. So let's move on. The Ray Romano thing.
Fair enough.
The Ray Romano thing is funny and certainly worth your time. And because I read this would be the most talked about thing after Russian Doll, I had to watch the first episode. It won't be. And it is called Pen 15. Now, I'm going to assume Pen 15 is called that because if you write it out, it doesn't really look like Pen 15. That's what I'm assuming.
I've got an idea of what it's supposed to be.
Now, here is the interesting part about it. It is painfully about middle school, specifically seventh grade, and these two best friends, these girls, best friends. The actresses playing them are in their 30s.
Was this like intentional in like a clever, like the cast of Grease kind of way?
No,
like,
they're the only ones playing seventh graders who are not younger looking actors. So it's obvious. And so there's a kind of a funny thing. It is amusing, but then some of it is just so painful to. Just so
painful because it's bad, or painful because what they're recreating.
Yeah, what they're recreating.
Okay,
they're doing a good job of it. It's not.
But it's an awkward and sometimes.
Yes, it's just kind of like
painful time to look back on for some people.
Yes, yes, and I learned what an uggis is, ugliest girl in school. So you know, who knows? It's one of those types of things.
Is it not remarkable? And I don't mean remarkable in like the amazing way that, like, say, like Niagara Falls is remarkable, but like how cruel kids can be to one another.
Yes,
sometimes, like, just the fact that designations like that exist, like. And the assumption, or I don't think they ever assumed that it didn't, but like what that can do to someone's psyche. Like whenever you hear something like that, something that basically confirms the worst fear that you have, like all of us are reasonably unsure of ourselves at that age. And you're sitting there going, like, am I not as attractive as like the other, like whatever. And then you hear a phrase like the ugliest girl in school. I'm going to put this out there. I wasn't a girl, so I don't know. But I would not, I would not like to have been the ugliest girl in school. No. Or at the very least, the one that got to carry that moniker.
Correct. Now, they do an excellent job. Some of it really, it's just not laugh out loud funny. But it's very well done. Much like Freaks and Geeks was very well done. It really captures what it's like to be there. And it is interesting, just as a side note, to see these women act like classic, not just classic seventh graders, but seventh graders in the year 2000. It's very specific. So like they're talking about two boys. And it's like, well, so they both like me. Huh? Well, so-and-so has an earring. Yeah, he does.
So it's set in the year
2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was making sure it just wasn't like
no, in the year
21st century. You mean literally mm-hmm. the year after 1999.
So all references 2000. And it's really dead on.
Do you want to know what messes with my head about that?
What?
The year 2000, very, very close to being 20 years ago.
Whoa.
And yeah. In my head, 20 years ago was 1990. That's completely wrong. And like, I shouldn't. But if you say a word like 10 years ago or 20 years, 10 years ago, that was the 85. Year 2000 in my head. 20 years ago, that was 1990. No. 1990 was 30 years ago. Like,
okay. You're talking crazy now. Just stop.
It boggles
maybe
my brains.
Maybe for these actresses that they were in seventh grade. In the year 2000,
Empire Strikes Back is almost 40 years old. Like, does that sound correct to you? Like,
it's clearly wrong.
I want to correct people when I hear it, but then like I'm like, wait, subtract the one, here we go. That's the year 2000. It's nearing vintage.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe, where we talk about what is worth watching or not watching on TV from high atop the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center. I'm Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens. So it's well done. I don't want to watch the rest of it. Not that any of what they're talking about has happened to me. It's just, I'd rather just watch a repeat of Bob's Burgers where I don't get all knotted up and go, oh, that sucks for them.
What is it about that period of, like, I guess there's a lot of ripe drama to be, like, what was it?
Oh, that's
Freaks
right.
and Geeks.
Yes.
Like, another show that kind of tackled a very similar time period and did it period specific as
there
well.
There is a movie out called Eighth Grade. I think it's on Amazon, and I want to say it was like a hit at Sundance or something. Again, I watched the whole thing. My husband did not understand why halfway through it, our middle school girl said, we need a break, because it was, again, so dead on. It was just too much. And with Eighth Grade, this is the whole thing. And the actress who plays the girl in Eighth Grade is approximately that age. I mean, she's not like 25 playing 14.
Again, not the Grease scenario.
Yes, no, she's legitimately that. She is superb, really. And just,
I don't want to say this in a condescending way, but a lot of child actors are not talented.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're, I mean, maybe it's the fact that, you know, most of them don't have the experience that some of their older, like, I guess they wouldn't be peers at that point. But like very often, like when I watch kids, I'm just like, this is wooden and boring. Like this, they do not have the range to do this. So like when you actually catch somebody that is like, I mean, that's the reason why like Haley Joel Osment or like Macaulay Culkin stood out at the points that they did. Like, because those two kids, well, they're not kids anymore, but whenever mm-hmm. they were that age, like, you could tell that they actually had some chops.
Well, here's the thing with her. When you're watching the movie Eighth Grade, it starts out with she does videos for YouTube that no one watches. And she ends all of them with Gitchy. And it's so painful. And she is so awkward. And the actress, you know, if you're going to be seen by potentially millions of people, unless you're some crazy character, you want to look your best in theory, right? Yeah. No makeup. I swear they added more acne to her. It's like every day her face was different. Just painful hormones all over her face, ill-fitting bathing suits, everything real, really.
As much as I think I might someday appreciate having like basically a video dialogue with myself at that age, I am so glad that YouTube mm-hmm. was very much non-existent when I was that age. Like, mm-hmm. luckily, we can just tell stories the way that they did on, you know, the Open Range, or the way they passed legend from, like, you know, warring tribe to warring tribe, so that, like, the stories people know about me around that time
become legendary.
They're just, I mean, they're, I had a funny experience that, like, I had come back to, I was on the speech team, and I'd come back to judge at one of the speech team competitions. And I hear a story, and there are so many of the details that are incorrect. Like, it's like what I'm sure the experience of watching a biopic about your life is mm-hmm. watching, like, let's say if like they would have got Zac Efron to play me in the biopic mm-hmm. about the life of Adam Cravens. And I'm just like, none of that happened. And I don't look like Zac Efron. Mm-hmm. Like, what is, and they're telling me these details about the story. And I'm just like, that didn't happen. And they don't realize these, because they're like, this is one of the guys a couple years ago. And I'm just like, right, that's me. I know this story. That's not, I'm not telling him any of this, but it was just, it was funny
you
to listen. No, because I wanted to know how it ended. Like, it was a story, like I said, based on true events.
I see. I have had similar experiences.
And like, but you can't have that if you literally have the video evidence and you're just like, oh no, I can't look at it with nostalgic rose tinted glasses.
Oh, there's not that.
It's awkward and real. There it is.
Now, what is genius about the storytelling is she is giving tips for teens. What she is saying in her videos is great advice, and it's everything she does not do in real life. Everything. So that's it. It's just regular school life, and she's very real. Is it binge worthy? Well, it's just a movie. And it is streaming. It is both bingy and cringy because it was hard to get through because of the realness.
It's bingy, but it's cringy not because of lack of quality.
Correct.
It's just some of the subject, itchy. Some of the subject matter maybe will hit you in a painful, mm-hmm. embarrassed for them kind of way.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Embarrassed for them. Yes. As my children have taught me a phrase, which I didn't know was a thing, but it's a thing. Secondhand embarrassment. This movie brings up a lot of secondhand embarrassment.
Okay.
And
like, I want to make sure, like, every time we say something is cringeworthy, like, Inhumans was cringeworthy mm-hmm. for an entirely different reason than, what did you say, eighth grade?
It's called eighth grade. Gucci.
Entirely. I'm gonna start saying that.
I know that we've been saying it all the time.
That's how I'm closing the show.
And you close like this. Gucci.
That's how I'm closing this one. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Gucci. I'm Gucci.
Anyway, so like I said, I wasn't gonna talk long about it, but be prepared. And if your child's about to go to middle school and you don't remember what it was like, watch the movie Eighth Grade. You'll remember.
It sounds kind of like the experience of like what happens to me when I watch movies like, say, that were made, you know, 20, 25 years ago, and like someone's children are in danger. When I watched them originally, it didn't hit me in the same mm-hmm. way. I didn't have kids. Like, I, you know, maybe I had some like cousins that were young, and I'm just like, oh, well, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Like,
but they're kind of disposable.
When
I don't really know them.
When you start like putting that all together, in Guardians of the Galaxy, in the second part, where like Yondu starts talking about Star-Lord, like, stupidest feeling in the world. I start crying in the theater, like uh-huh. when they're talking about that and how he's talking about the way he feels about like bringing up like somebody, like the fact that more or less they have an adoptive relationship, mm-hmm. which is something that hits very close home to me.
Adam is actually blue-skinned.
Yes,
so.
Also an alien.
So.
And control a magic...
Whistle
that has an air...
Taser face.
Some of those... And I also have a taser face.
Taser face.
Did you come up with that name?
Taser face.
Oh, that's your real name.
Okay. So, yeah. Eighth grade. Gucci. So, what else have you watched?
I have also been watching a show on YouTube called The Game Chasers.
And?
It's about two guys that in their spare time, it's kind of a... And this is going to sound odd coming from me. It's a reality show. They go to like flea markets. They go to Goodwills. They go to yard sales. Basically, they try to find classic video games.
Would you say they go to Goodwills hunting?
Yes. But so that they don't get sued, I would make sure to put spaces and semicolons where appropriate.
So video games. And you would love that. I did.
Yeah. Like, it's just fat. If you were to put me and one of my friends from high school and you let us loose in a flea market looking for like old NES, like Atari 7800 games or anything like that, this seems like what it would be like. The jokes can get very crude, mm-hmm. like at points. It's just a very interesting documentary style. And you'll also see them like negotiating the price. Like sometimes you'll get a person that doesn't understand like the rarity of the video game that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And they'll just be like, hey, how much are you looking at for the NES games? And they'll just be like, $5. And like they're sitting there going, like one of the games in particular that they happen to find in one of the first couple episodes is called Little Samson. Little Samson came at the end of the original Nintendo's life. There, you've got Sega Genesis games and Super Nintendo games that have basically taken all the spotlight off the original Nintendo at this point. The game is made by one of Mega Man's creators. You have all this talent that comes together on this game. Very low print run because they didn't sell hardly any of them. Nobody knows about this game. Very, very... end of the NES's life. If you get one of these out of the case, I'm not talking about like a boxed version. The shrink wrap isn't sealed on it. You can sell it for $200 easy.
Nice.
Easy. Like go on eBay right now, look up Little Samson. And I don't mean the reproduction carts. I mean legit original NES cart. $200. You get one of these sealed in a package, like you can pay for your first year of college with it. Like, and they happen to find one at this flea market and this person does not know what they have. And they're just like, hey, what are you looking at? And they're like, $8. And normally these guys are just cheapskates. Like mm-hmm. they are just constantly trying to get the price down. They're like, well, what about this? What about this? Well, what if I do the robot? Will you take $2 if I'll dance the robot? And they're just like, oh yeah, I'll take off $2. They don't like, they're just, they are stone fat. And they're just like, oh yeah, that's a reasonable price. Like, and you can just like the elation, like you can see them getting in. Like in another episode, they find a Flintstones video game. And there were two Flintstones games. One of them was a Blockbuster. Blockbuster, for those of you who don't know, was a red box that you could walk into.
You can walk into a red box.
Yeah.
And then you fall over.
Or it closes around you and kills you.
Yes.
It was an exclusive that you could only rent at Blockbuster Video. It was never sold commercially. So the only way that you got one of these Flintstones at like original Nintendo carts was if you purchased it after they cleared out like that particular generation of video games. So like the print run on these is basically like however many Blockbuster videos there were when this game was released. And you're talking about like early 90s mm-hmm. at this point, like back when Blockbuster was $1 billion. But even at that point, very, very low print run, which if you know anything about collecting, the less of something there is, generally, the higher the price. They walk into a game exchange and whomever has priced this game, they're just going through all the games. Whoever's priced this think it's the much more common other Flintstones game, the one that was just regular release, like had, you know, it was in your department store, stuff like that, you know, not very rare. They think it's that one. So they've priced it at $395. The Flintstones games that it actually is, again, probably sell for $150, $170 on eBay. Easy. They have it priced for $4. And again, like, you just see them almost freaking out. They've got a camera on them, but they don't want the guy at the store to realize what they have because they don't want to pay $170 for it. Mm-hmm. They want that. That's the whole premise of the show, is finding these hypothetically like rare games. And like, sometimes they come up short. Sometimes they don't. They'll go to a flea market and it's nothing but Mario, you know, Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes they will find those gems or like these rarities or these things that, like, as kids, they were just like, I always wanted this. Like, I didn't get to do this. Or they'll find that game that they rented with their dad, like, mm-hmm. you know, countless amount of times. And they're like, I wanted to have that piece in my child. So sometimes you get like that they've really hit this nice financial win, and they're not wealthy guys. So like, when they're getting like a $170 game for $4, like, they're excited. Well, sometimes you get to get into like the nostalgia of like their childhood, just being like, this game is worthless to everybody else, but I played this with my uncle, like, and he, you know, he passed away at a certain point. And this is one of the memories that I have left of this guy. And like, maybe they show footage of it. Like, they talk about like what the game means to him. It just, mm-hmm. it's a very specific demographic that you're talking about there.
And but the name of it again?
The Game Chasers. It's a YouTube series. Mm-hmm. It's spun from, like, it's called a Retroware TV. You've got a lot. Basically, it's a collection of channels that specifically delve into classic video gaming. Like, there's a show called The Gaming Historian, and he talks about like the history of like the original Game Boy, like who made it, like its production, things that are like interesting or unique about it. You've got another guy that does a game called 16
Why don't you
Gems.
Have one of these shows?
I really should. Like,
I mean,
watching it's one of those things that I'm just like, I could do this. Like, I actually had an idea for a YouTube channel like 15 years ago. It was called Red Trek. And basically, I would review episodes of Star Trek, but I would really lay into my Southern heritage. Like, basically, it was the way that a redneck would interpret episodes of Star Trek. And I mean,
I thought you were just going to talk about the red shirts.
No.
And do
no.
backstories on them.
No, it's Red Trek. Like, okay. It's a redneck reviewing Star Trek.
Now, I don't want to say they copied us, but Good Mythical Morning basically is what Adam and I used to do on the radio many years ago.
Talk about Lord of the Rings and Star Trek?
No, eat stuff and talk
okay.
about it.
All right.
Okay. Eat stuff. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good Mythical Morning, also on YouTube. One of those things where these guys just started and it took off. And for the most part, it's 10, 15 minutes worth of friends. I think these guys have been friends since maybe fifth grade. And I think they're in North Carolina. Their names are Rhett and Link. Very funny guys. They live near each other. They had regular jobs and they said, well, let's do a YouTube channel. And it just took off to the point where now they're a thing, you know?
Well, the kind of the cool, especially when you're doing something that you're passionate about, like, I think that translates. Like, funny enough, my I have a Samsung Gear 2, a Gear Fit 2. Apparently, my heart rate had went up so much, it thought I was exercising when I was talking about classic video games. It said, great job. You've been working out for 10 minutes. I just kind of went, did I get that excited?
Yes, you did.
I'd like, but I mean, you can, if you're talking about something you're passionate about, like, it can be palpable.
But here's the thing, Rhett and Link, this is one of their shows, okay? Tell me how close we were to doing this.
If you're about to say pig brains and gravy.
They've done that, I'm sure. What they did was,
have they broken the corn dog, like,
blindfolded. They're blindfolded. They're served biscuits from five different fast food restaurants and have to say what restaurants they're from.
I could.
You know?
Actually, I think we did
that. Yeah, I know we did stuff like that. So tell me, I know we did it with donuts. I know we did.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's mostly what they do.
And when Jane says we, she means she would you. Get me to do it. Like somebody had recently set a record for eating corn dogs.
And Adam said, that doesn't seem like much. I could beat that.
Actually, Jane said that. And told me to. I at no point was I like, sure. She. I
was
literally
it 14 in 2 minutes.
It was some what sounded like a reasonable number.
It did.
And I was young and foolish then. Ooh. And I let Jane talk me into it. And let me tell you this: like the first couple, they go down easy. When you start getting down near 14, like
you made it to what, three?
No, I want to say I got real, like I was around like 7 or 8, and then it hit. Like she just comes in and she's got a bunch of frozen corn dogs. She's like, let's heat these up and do it on the air. And I'm like, okay. Now, nowadays, at least I might have the common sense to be like, maybe we shouldn't do that. That could have an adverse effect on me. To this day, I cannot smell a corn dog without becoming nauseated. And this did not happen like yesterday either, folks. Like it's been a while since I could really stomach being in the same room as a corn dog.
We used to spin the wheel of misfortune, and whatever it landed on was something that would have to happen to Adam.
Like, and again, we couldn't do this show now because I would have just been like, that's a terrible, we're not going to do that at all. I don't know if I didn't realize I could say no at that point. Like I said, I was young, stupid, impetuous. But that's basically what
pig
we did.
Brains. Oh my God, those pig brains.
And occasionally we'd also talk about movies.
Yes, we would occasionally talk about movies. So there you go. Rhett and Link, by the way, Good Mythical Morning is an entertaining show, but really mostly because it makes me think of us. And it's like, huh, if we'd just thought of doing this.
All we had to do was video it.
Uh-huh.
We had the idea. There is evidence, literal auditory evidence that we did this probably before them.
Yeah. Good times. Anyway, so that's it. That is our binge or cringe for this week. And geez, I don't know what's coming up next. Can't even think about it. Just watch again. If you're not watching Star Trek Discovery, you fool, watch it. And if you haven't seen Russian Doll, Adam, watch it.
Or if you're just in the mood to see a dumpster fire, Inhumans is free on Vudu right now.
Yes, very much so. Thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Gigi.
Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens is a Hints and Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.